way, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lie down and rest. He said to another man, follow me. But the man said, sir, first let me go back and bury my father. Jesus answered, let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Someone else said, I will follow you, sir, but first let me go and say goodbye to my family. Jesus said to him, anyone who starts to plough and then keeps looking back is of no use in the kingdom of God. Well, it's great to be back with you. I love going on holiday for 2 weeks. And although we try and make a rule that we won't talk about you, our friends, and what's happening, I'm afraid it doesn't last very long because you're so much in our hearts. So it's great to be back. It's great to have listened from Dropbox on the two talks while I've been away. And thanks to Becca and to Kurt for preaching. Our theme for the year, and if we can have the PowerPoint up, be great, is loving the world. And we're thinking quite simply, and it will be quite a short talk today, but I hope it goes deep into your mind and your heart and your consciousness. And if anybody wants to pray at the end, more than welcome. We're thinking about loving the world, and we're going back to the simplest of things, that Jesus calls us forward to follow him. We've been thinking about travelling. That's a great theme of Scripture, the journey and the fact that we're pilgrims all the time, that we're always travelling, we're always journeying, we're always on the move. Even if we're bound to a chair, we are meant to be on the move, going forward for Jesus. We think about Jesus himself, who moved into the world to share the Father's love, to call people back into relationship with God. Now, last Sunday, Kurt, how many of you were able to hear Kurt? Right. If you didn't, you really missed out. And we're loading up over the next couple of weeks the podcasts, the ones that we haven't yet loaded, and you'll be able to hear him. But he shared, he's the pastor at three churches, not just Helios Church down there in Bethnal Green, but also two churches on the street, churches without walls, one in Ilford, one in Westminster, working with people who live and survive and around the streets. And he shared something of God's heart, and he used those letters of heart to explain, I think, God's heart and his own. And you spoke about how Jesus sees and feels and heals. That Jesus is the extended hand of God into the world. And that Jesus calls us to follow in extending love to the world. We are not God. We are not Jesus. The church is not God, I was saying on Wednesday. But yet together we are called to be the lips and the hands and the feet and the arms of God to others. And his talk, as I listened to it, just followed on so closely from what Jeff had shared with us some weeks ago about loving the world with touch and the importance of touch. And also it was so closely related to what I followed on with when I looked at the Good Samaritan who saw and felt compassion and went and touched and used his resources to bring love, that it just underlined again that God is calling us to move out, to move forward, to be his extended arm, to be his lips speaking to people, to love the world. This whole theme is nothing new. It is the theme of God recorded through thousands of years in Scripture and also made plainer through the coming of Jesus Christ. Throughout the generations, Jesus calls his followers to copy his example of moving into the world. We are to be heart, lips and hands and feet to demonstrate and speak the compassion of God, that strong compassion of God, who really empathises and experiences with human beings. If you can have the next slide. Today, what I want to focus on, to think about, is that of ourselves, we need refreshment in God. And I don't just mean holidays, I mean refreshment in God every day. We need renewal of vision, the same way as we clean our spectacles if we have them. We need to sharpen up our vision, because otherwise we will retreat permanently. We will go backwards. Instead of following Jesus forward, we will move backwards. We will start by rationalising and saying, well, what Jesus asks is far too difficult. It just isn't possible. We will draw back from the sort of outreach that Kurt not just spoke about, but has demonstrated, not because he's claiming perfection, but for over 30 plus years, from coming from New York City, from Hell's Kitchen into London with his wife to raise his children here, to be here, because Jesus said, follow me. Be aware that there is a tendency in each of us to turn back from following Jesus. And there are others, even within the church, who may call us back instead of walking with us and encouraging us forward. It doesn't mean that there isn't a place for God to deal with our past and to bring healing to the past and to move us forward. God is always calling us forward to follow Jesus, the person of Jesus, to follow him. And any reading of the Gospels, and I do hope that at any one time you are reading a part of one of the Gospels, that is not difficult to do, that is not a sacrifice, that is a blessing. It may take a little bit of discipline, but I really encourage you to do that, especially if you've got some time on your hands at the moment. Just read the Gospels again and again and again. But as we read the Gospels, it's plain that Jesus called men and women to follow him. If somebody asks you what a Christian is, the best place to start is somebody who follows Jesus. Don't start talking about people who pray for long hours or go to church, whatever. Start with that. And then you can start to talk about with them, well, what does it mean to follow Jesus? If somebody asks you, are you a Christian? I suggest to you, you say to them, I follow Jesus. Whether they are a Muslim, a Hindu, whatever they are, start with that. Now, Jesus is talking when he asks people to follow him in the style of the rabbis, the teachers of his day. And in that style, as Jesus calls us to follow him, many people of his day were calling for followers. And in our day, many people are calling for followers, whether it's follow my lifestyle or whatever. We need to be aware that we will need to leave things behind. In the passage that was read to us, and we stick with that gospel reading, Jesus talked about leaving behind even family and business in favour of following him, the teacher. We're not called to follow a religion, but to follow the person, Jesus Christ. Our conviction, I hope, is that Jesus is not a dead hero. He's not a dead founder of a faith, but a living Lord who daily walks with us. When we think about excuses and priorities, we have a lot of things to juggle, don't we? We're like the guy on that screen. We belong to a generation that will give more time to its digital tools than to Jesus. Now, I'm well aware that digital tools can be used to enable to bring us closer to Jesus. But we are juggling many, many things. And Jesus gives us keys and guidelines. Excuses and priorities. Jesus said, no one putting their hand to the plough and turning back is a worthy disciple. Now, in those days, it would have been oxen in his culture and still in the majority of cultures of the world that would take forward a plough, probably a wooden plough. Maybe some of them obviously had learned to put metal on them as well. Nobody's starting to plough and then turning back, because that's the whole point about cutting a straight furrow, is a worthy disciple. Jesus cries out, follow me. And a man cries out, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus is using a style of hyperbole, speaking in extremes to make a point, a Jewish style. Now the father may not have even been an old man. Maybe he was 40. Maybe his father wasn't dead. But what he's saying is, culturally, traditionally, I have to stay with my father and plough his fields. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. You can work out what that means. Jesus, using this Jewish hyperbole, is making plain that family and business are to have lower priority than following his call. He is not telling us to neglect duty and responsibility. You know that. He's not telling us, because in many other places in the Gospels, he tells us about our responsibilities to family and our duty. But in the Gospels, it is made plain that we are to seek God's kingdom and righteous living as first priority. And I mean first priority. And if you don't agree with me, that's fine. Don't agree, talk to Jesus. It is not my command, it is not my call, it is his. And we have to work out what that means. And because we are not getting that right, then there are problems in our families and in our business and in our nations and in our world. It is a struggle. Jesus did not call us to walk upon a beautifully tarmacked road of life. It's a narrow way. It's a tough way. And it is through, as we said in our prayers, the struggles that we prove God is a wrong word, but we find out for ourselves that God is utterly reliable. Our next slide would be great. Let's be plain that Jesus is talking about an ardent pursuit. That's with all our heart and all our love. Jesus is calling us into relationship with him. He's calling us into an ardent relationship. This is following Jesus with passion. Those of you who listened to Kurt last Sunday will have sensed the passion he has for following Jesus, and also what that passion means in terms of reaching people on the streets. That's where he's called to be. Now, some of you, in a very small sense, are called to that in street pastors. In his case, it meant for many years just opening up his home. It means every week being on the streets at 5 o'clock in the morning, delivering communion, sharing sleeping bags, being with people. It's just a little taste of street pastors. It's a phenomenal commitment, street pastors, when you're tired and as you're getting older. Tell me about it. Oh, sorry, that was Sandy. It is a big commitment, but God's commitment to us is phenomenal. You know, Jesus had to wrestle with his father whether there was any other way of doing what he had to do. Kurt's commitment, quite simply said, is to those who are without Jesus. And I believe that is what our commitment should be, because that is the commitment of Jesus. That's why he says we are to go and make disciples. He doesn't tell us to go and be successful in business. That is not the call. Going to those who are without Jesus is loving Jesus and loving the world. Now, this ardent pursuit of love is what is depicted in the wonderful writings of Scripture. but particularly in the Song of Songs. I don't know those of you that have read that. Amazing poetry. But leaders have chosen to put this in the canon of Scripture. And in the Song of Songs, the bride waits for her lover, and as soon as she hears him at the door, she rushes into the streets looking for him. And so too the person, the people that have waited for the Messiah, whether they were Jews or many Muslims who are currently waiting for Messiah. When they hear, they rush out to greet him and be with him. Some, of course, didn't. They didn't recognize Jesus. But it's a story about the pursuit of love. And following Jesus is really about loving him. And the great danger is we lose our first love. The great danger is we become lukewarm. The great danger is that the world's pressures stifle that love. If it can happen in a human marriage, believe me, it can happen even more easily in our relationship with Jesus. If we love and follow Jesus, we will love the world and we will follow Jesus into the world. Kurt said, using the letters of heart, that we will hear Jesus calling, "Follow me." That every one of us will be available to Jesus to use our resources and to do it with thankfulness. That was his heart. Every one of us will hear Jesus calling us to follow him. Everyone. We will be available to Jesus to use our resources, and we will do it with thankfulness, not with constant whinging and complaining. And if the burden has become too great, then I suggest, my own experience is, it's because we are not experiencing the love of Jesus for us. If pastoring God's people becomes too great a chore, then it is because we have forgotten the love of Jesus. If being a street pastor or a Sunday school teacher or whatever we do for God, sharing him, has become too great, maybe even being a parent, then we need to come back to Jesus and hear him say, "Follow me." Last slide. There is a tendency, I believe, and I know it myself, to start following Jesus and then to turn back. You don't need to turn to this, but I'm just going to remind you of what happened after the crucifixion. And you can read about it later today if you want in John 21. Hear the account of what happened to some of the disciples after the crucifixion. Some of you will know this incident very well. Some of the 12, led by Simon Peter, decide to go back to fishing, even though they had already seen the resurrected Jesus. Right? They'd even seen him. And yet they decide to go back to Jesus. They're uncertain, they're lacking conviction about what is required of them, and they're finding it very difficult to work out what they are supposed to do. So many followers of Jesus in that situation. Maybe they're also short of money. They go out in a boat on Lake Tiberias. They spend a whole night fishing and they catch zilch. Nothing. Rien. A man on the beach hails them, asks them about their catch, and instructs them to throw their nets in again, with the promise that they will bring in a catch. They do what they're told. They haul in a magnificent catch, which is so big that they have to tow it the 100 metres or so to the beach. There, the Lord awaits them, and they'd already recognised who he is, with a fire and fish already cooking and bread ready to break. Simon Peter is already there because he's swum ahead, jumping out of the boat, and he drags the catch ashore without tearing the net. They all accept Jesus' invitation to come and eat, and then Jesus gets Simon Peter on the side and challenges him about his love. Do you really love me? Do you really love me? And his answers are so like our own, and he says to Simon Peter, really, are you willing to work for me? Are you going to look after my people? Are you going to feed them? And Jesus says to him again, follow me. Hear Jesus say that to you today. Put your name before or after, it doesn't matter. But hear Jesus saying, because if you have never heard that, if you've only heard that from your parents or others recommending that to you or the church, you need to hear Jesus saying that. Jesus had called them away from being fishers and tax collectors and political activists. Paul was a tent maker out of leather and so on, and sometimes they used that to make some money. But he calls them away from their primary purpose. Work for Jesus is our meat, not work, actually, just of itself. He calls them away to go into the world and to show and to speak God's message, to call others to follow Jesus. They had gone backwards for a variety of reasons, and Jesus, in resurrection power, again challenges them. They are slow to catch on. We're told this is his third resurrection appearance to that group. They're just as sort of same as we are. We too are often so slow to catch on or even to understand that Jesus calls to us to follow him and to move forward. Before everything, we get so tied into human relationships, family relationships. And yet if we put Jesus first, I'm telling you, they are not easy family relationships, all right? And friendship relationships. But in putting our relationship with Jesus first, we will be able to steer a course through all the pettiness and the bickering and the rivalry and all the good things as well. Other pressures push Jesus out, and he so often gets low priority in our schedules. And Kurt mentioned this last week. Basically, our love grows cold or lukewarm, and the passion for following Jesus and loving the world wanes. It becomes a terrible chore because we feel we cannot meet the needs of the world. That's what the disciples wanted to do, to push the 5,000 away and the 4,000, because they just couldn't meet the needs. And yet Jesus said to them, you feed them. He's trying to show them a way through. If we're not following Jesus day by day, then we quickly slow and even fall out of touch and hearing range of Jesus. Some may even not just grow lukewarm, but may return to the old, unhelpful and destructive habits that dragged them down before. It doesn't happen overnight. Peter, yes, the same Simon Peter, disciple of Jesus, in his second letter to a wide group of Christians in chapter 2 verse 22 says that the proverb writer in chapter 26 verse 11 speaks the truth when he says, dogs go back to their vomit and pigs who have been washed go back to roll in the mud. Now we're neither pigs nor dogs. Well, I can't see any out there today. But our human nature is often to return to destructive habits. And even people who have loved Jesus and followed Jesus can return to destructive habits. We become slaves again as soon as we become addicted to something. And there are many old ways that we become addicted to. I just read the scripture to you because it speaks for itself and it's very, very powerful. If people have escaped from the corrupting forces of the world through their knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and then are again caught and conquered by them, such people are in a worse state at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been much better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than to know it and then turn away from the sacred command that was given them. What happened to them shows that the proverbs are true. A dog goes back to what it has vomited, and a pig that has been washed goes back to roll in the mud. We have a new nature, but we still wrestle with our old nature. Hear again the voice of Jesus, with your name, with my name. Follow me, Jane. I will make you someone who makes others followers of Jesus. I love you. Follow me. I am alive. I love the world so much. Follow me into the world to tell the world. This simplicity and yet profoundness is our Lord, is the one who is calling us. It can be spoken into all our complexities of life, in raising children, in doing jobs of work, in redundancies, in unemployments, very difficult situations, seeking to work out what that means. And it is a call of love, made from the love of God, but we need to respond to that. So let's hold that through this season.